Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your name alone to us is love, that you have spoken to us, that you've called us by name. We praise you that you are a God who remembers us even when we don't remember ourselves. We praise you that you've brought each one of us here today from bad circumstances and good circumstances, from feeling great or not feeling very good at all. But you are sovereign over all those things, and you're a good Father who stands by his children and with his children, so we thank you for that. As you speak to us now by your word and by your spirit, we give you thanks for this time, this little respite away from our work and our study. And we pray you bless us in it to be your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Josh said that we were... I'm here to do a little prequel about this forum that's going to be coming up in January, and the theme is True Communities, True Selves. And in other words, it's trying to be a discussion about how we realize our identities. And, you know, college is a time oftentimes where people say, this is where you're going to go and discover yourself, you're going to figure out who you are. Well, I can tell you, I've been out of college for a long time, and I'm still trying to answer that question, who I am as a father and as a son, and as a pastor, and as a husband, and as a friend. And, you know, what we're going to be talking about is what the Bible talks about, which is the way that you really discover who you are is you discover who you are in community. Now, I know community is a word, a buzzword that gets thrown around a lot, but they're at the heart of the Bible, and in some sense, at the very beginning of the Bible, we're given a paradigm for how you discover who you are. And there at the very beginning of John's Gospel, which talks about the very beginning, it's the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming to you and I, coming to humanity, and inviting us into that community. And that's where we discover who we are. We're made in God's image, and we discover our identities in this community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not only do we discover that, but he also gives us a model on how you and I can have communities that model the Trinity, that model that ability to confer identity, confer our selfhood on the people around us. Clear as mud, right? Let me try to explain a little bit more from looking at a passage from John's Gospel. I know you have some Bibles in front of you. If you want to just listen to me read it, that's great. But if you have a Bible, we're going to look at the very first chapter of John's Gospel. And this is what the Bible tells us about how God comes to us and speaks to us. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." There's an article in the New Yorker some months ago. It was an article about the practice of solitary confinement in prisons, and it was called Hellhole. And in this article, it talks about the effects of solitary confinement on someone who has no contact with other people at all. And the author says this. He says, "Human beings are social creatures. We are social not just in the trivial sense that we like company and not just in the obvious sense that we depend on each other. We are social in a more elemental way." Listen to this. "Simply to exist as a normal human being requires interaction with other people." They found that people who had no interaction, no speaking into their lives, no touch, began to actually be subhuman. They lost their identity as human beings. In the beginning of John's Gospel that I just read, it's sort of God rescuing us from that kind of solitary confinement in ourselves, we are going to deteriorate into darkness. But God comes and speaks to us in Jesus. He invites us into this community. And in the passage that we just read, we hear about God speaking to us in Jesus in two ways. Now, I'm going to divide it up in two ways. You can't really bifurcate God's word, but I'm just going to talk briefly about those two ways and how we can model it. First is God speaks truth to us, and second, God speaks grace to us. Kind of go backward, but in verse 14, it says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. The first thing that God speaks to us in Jesus is the truth, and it's a pretty bad truth, too, and it is that we are inclined to darkness. That's what the text says. I think it's in verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it, but we tend towards darkness. This passage also says that we are people that tend to deny our maker. And then we're not talking about people out there. We're not talking about bad people. We're talking about me and you. We tend towards wanting to be alone. We tend towards wanting to be separate from God. And Jesus comes and he speaks to us. Now, I'm a pastor, and so I have lots of people who come to me and say, you know, I think I like Christianity okay, but I don't like the God of the Old Testament. I like the God of the New Testament. Or I don't like Paul, but I like Jesus. But the thing is, Jesus in the Gospels says far more damning things, literally, about you and I than Paul ever does. Listen to what Jesus says in Revelation. He says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city of the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." Now, I want to identify that one especially, who loves and practices falsehood, who doesn't hear the truth or speak the truth to the people around them. God comes in Jesus Christ, and he speaks this truth to us. This is who we are, separate from God. But he also speaks grace. In verse 14, it says the same thing. He speaks grace to us. And the grace of God in Jesus Christ is that despite the fact that we are far away from God, despite the fact that we incline towards being on our own and inclining towards darkness, Jesus Christ has come and the darkness has not overcome him. He comes as a brother to you and as a friend and speaks tenderly to you. And in him there is salvation. And by that I mean going to heaven, but I also mean rediscovering actually who you really are. You know, there's a story about a rabbi who says that when he faces the judgment, he believes that when God comes to him, he's not going to say, "You weren't as great as Abraham. You weren't as great as Isaiah. You failed to be as great as you. You failed to be who you are." Isn't that what sin is sometimes? You say, "I can't believe I did that. That wasn't me who said that." Jesus comes in his grace. Not because of us getting it right. He calls us back into community with himself in love and grace. Now, that little paradigm that I just set up for you, the fact that we are far away from God and he speaks the truth to us, but he calls us back in grace, you've probably heard that a lot. I hope that you have. And I hope you've embraced the love in Jesus Christ to which he calls us to. But I'm not only showing that to you and explicating it here from John's gospel to remind us of that, but also to remind us that this is a model for us as a community here at Hope and in whatever communities you're in, that you can, like Jesus, model this kind of love to one another, of speaking both truth and love to one another. Because this isn't just the job of Jesus. Jesus is going to use you to speak into the lives of the other people. You are called to speak truth into the life of your friends. And you are called to speak grace into the life of your friends. The fact is, you guys have an amazing and enormous responsibility and charge to actually speak into one another's lives. If you don't speak truth into the people around you's lives, it could cost them their life. If you don't speak grace to them, it could cost them their life. See, basically, you and I have this enormous privilege of being able to be Jesus to one another, but more often than not, it's so much easier to use our words for petty things, to just be a mess of pottage to speak to one another. It's so much easier to have our words not mean that much. But what I want to challenge myself and you all to do is to speak with one another today and in the days to come like your words really meant something. To be so earnest and to be so courageous that you'd be willing to tell people around you that you love them and that you care for them and that they're special. See, you know, when you hear those things, you simultaneously, if you're like me, you kind of get the chills a little bit. I want somebody to tell me that I'm special and that God loves me and cares for me, but I'm also a little afraid to say it to other people. I'm afraid that I'll be perceived as sort of just some kind of fluffy, somebody that doesn't take life seriously. I'm afraid of how I'll be perceived. The same way, I'm a little bit afraid to tell the truth to the people around me. What you're doing is hurting you. What you're doing is far away from where God has called you to be. It's so much easier to have conversations about little things. But the charge that we have here is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And listen, I'm not just telling you to do good things because Jesus told you to do good things. The only way that you'll be able to do this is because Jesus has called you into his family. The point of Jesus calling you into his family is to be like him, and not just like WWJD, to actually be part of the family of God, to inhabit that space, that community that God's created, and he sends you out to the world to be his son or his daughter and say, you can speak truth to the people around you. You can speak love to the people around you. You have to do it. You can do it. You have the privilege of doing it. So friends, be courageous with your words. Don't throw your words away. The people around you are counting on you. They want to hear grace and truth from you. So be brave and do it because Jesus is with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you don't give us just a little assignment in this life. You give us a big charge as your children to speak truth and love to one another. And I pray you'd give us courage. We don't want to do it. We'd rather talk about anything else. But we ask that you'd give us the courage to speak lovingly to one another and with truth and with grace. And we give you thanks that we can do that because our elder brother Jesus went into the far country and brought us back. And now we belong to you. We can do it. So we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.